Friday, May 18th.
Everybody's been waiting for nonsense. Here it is, but we got social media and...
Social media is always nonsense.
Crypto, just a little bit of science, and then everybody's favorite nonsense. Pretty good nonsense crop today.
Let's get to harvesting it, shall we? Facebook has been hit with a class action lawsuit over the collection of texts and call logs. If you follow this program, this is not news to you, but yeah, somebody's like, wait a minute, they're doing what now? Lawsuit.
Yeah, it came from the Cambridge Analytica fallout. I don't know if Cambridge had that data, but when people went to download the things that Facebook had about them, because it was like, oh no, yeah, you can go and look. Well, it turned out if you're a mobile user, it was recording your calls.
Now, I seem to recall from the Zuck's congressional testimony that he said it was just metadata, like your call history, but not contents of messages and things like that. But maybe he meant it didn't.
No, well, I don't think anybody's saying they have actual recordings.
But they do have the contents of text messages.
Probably. I think so, yeah. But they do have whether it was incoming or outgoing, what the numbers were, how long it was. They have all that data.
And it may just be that they're suing. In the lawsuit, they're going to discover if they have the contents of the messages or not.
Well, I think even if they don't, they're saying that the lawsuit's saying. And the guy wants, I think, $5 million, and he's seeking a class action.
And other news that will not be a surprise to anybody that has watched this program for any amount of time, social media is copying gambling methods to create psychological cravings. So it turns out some of the population is more susceptible to the gambling endorphins. I've forgotten there's a term for that. Than other people. And so it turns out you can structure your social media website like a gambling website, and people will get those same gambling endorphins.
Yeah, the thing you're probably thinking of is it has to do with the response that you get is not constant.
Yeah.
And that's what... So they've actually studied animals...
Like cocaine.
Like monkeys. If they give them a button to press that always gives them a grape, then they'll get full of grapes and they'll walk away. If it never gives them a grape, then they don't care. But if it gives them a grape unpredictably, they will sit and push the button and eat grapes until they die. And so that's the gambling idea, and social media is trying to do that same thing. And maybe not even, like, they're talking about here, it's on purpose. But I think in a lot of ways, maybe it's not on purpose. Because it's like, you put out a tweet, you're going to check and see if anybody replied to your tweet or liked it. They haven't always done that. But maybe one times out of five, you get that hit, and so you keep coming back to it.
Oh, God, I'm starting to have a moment of introspection.
Yeah. Yeah, so they're saying, now, I don't personally agree, because you mentioned, like, some people have this weakness, and this is the loot box controversy. A lot of people are like, no, some people are susceptible to this, and we can't have it. And same way, it's like, well, yeah, some people get addicted to cocaine, and not everybody does, which is apparently the brain uses the same center to register that gambling addiction and the cocaine addiction. But do we limit something that everybody loves just because some people are weak against it?
I think we can educate the population at least and be like, by the way, this is a thing that might be happening, so it can take some of the magic out of it that would prevent that from happening, maybe.
I don't think it works, though, because like with gamblers, you know, you can tell them all day, but they still get that fix.
In the same vein, kind of, sort of, but not really, YouTube, again, part of the Google I.O. thing, is thinking about rolling out new tools to help you stop watching. So you get, like, they've got a warning pop-up. It's like, hey, you know, every hour or every 2 hours or every 3 hours or whatever, pop up a thing and be like, maybe you should take a break.
And I think you can actually set yourself a daily limit as well. That's probably more for children. You know, like parental controls type of thing.
In all honesty, this is probably a better approach than just randomly suppressing channels notifications.
I don't think those are built to do the same things.
Oh, shots fired. Oh.
They're still going to try to make you watch the heavily monetized stuff and control the dissenting voices. But they're going to let you decide when they warn you.
Have we mentioned the Level 1 Patreon lately? Level 1 Patreon is really the best way to support this channel.
I didn't look. Did we get demonetized on any of our videos last week?
We did, but it came back mysteriously. So
yeah, because we knew that, I think, was it the death? Well, yeah. I shouldn't say it.
It was the one that you're thinking of, yeah, where you said all three of the magic phrases. The ones that, yeah, that one, yeah. But then they put it back later, so maybe it's okay. I don't know.
Yeah, but with
but if that was after everybody had already watched, yeah, it, so it's irrelevant.
For a channel like us, where we get a, you know, relatively small amount of views, and we get them all in the first day, it's bad.
We got this, the store that has cool shirts like that one behind me, which is like the penguin. It's like free your inner nerd.
We have
store.level1text.com.
Much newer ones than that one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've got to redecorate the set. The set redecoration is incoming
soon. And we have a forum where a lot of gatekeeping and bullying happens. And we'd like that to stop.
Protecting our community from bullying comments.
This is Instagram.
Instagram. Last year, we announced our offensive comment filter, which automatically hides toxic and divisive comments, particularly those aimed at at-risk groups.
How about, go back to that. How about that Instagram web design where the share buttons are just floating on top of the, what is that?
Somebody didn't test in non-Safari browsers is what that is.
That's terrible. But yeah, Instagram, they're rolling out these new rules because people are mean on Instagram.
Turns out people on the internet are terrible people.
People are mean everywhere. And so if you are just lashing out at someone, and especially when it comes to, you know, the big three, gender, religion, or race, they're not going to tolerate that. And they're going to ban you for that. And they've got a special rule for child users. Well, I think it would be 13 to use Instagram.
Yeah, 13.
So if you're,
we'll learn that in the later nonsense section.
If you're between 13 and 18, then it's very serious. You're not allowed to say anything bad to those poor children, because who would bully children? It's not like they get that in school, right? And it's zero tolerance for that. Yeah. So be nice on Instagram or stop using it.
A Plant City movie is going to make history by becoming the first to be released on a blockchain. So The reason they stated in the article is because piracy, but really this is just a publicity stunt.
This is a movie that's about Bitcoin that uses, it's going to release on the blockchain, and the one of the co-producers is something to do with cryptocurrency. This is just like such a grab at attention, and it's like, oh, this is hot now. Let's make a movie about it. But yeah, I guess you can buy it and get it delivered via the blockchain, but they're going to release it in theaters too, so there's going to be piracy.
Well, it's some kind of a blockchain. It's some kind of a different blockchain that is made specifically for media distribution, and they think it's going to be streamed with that, but you have to use that cryptocurrency to buy access to whatever. So
I think what's going to protect that movie from piracy is that no one cares.
That is one of the most, although that did not work out for the Prenda Law people. They bought the rights to a video that nobody had ever saw and uploaded it to the Pirate Bay themselves, and that did not work out.
Yeah, it turns out people have to want to see your movie before you copy protect it.
Chipmaker NVIDIA sees fewer crypto miners, more games in the future. So not a lot of people are buying NVIDIA graphics cards for mining, but if you're still trying to buy a Vega 56 or a 64, you're going to be in for a bad time, because those are still pretty good at cryptocurrency mining.
Yeah, this was their conference call, their earnings call, and they admitted that 9% of their sales in whatever that last quarter was all for sure crypto miners. Not even like, I don't think they can measure the retail units that people just buy up for home mining. Yeah. But it was 9% of like, yes, we know. These were crypto miners who contacted us and were like, send us directly. Everything that you make was 9% of their business for that quarter.
The NVIDIA had a just amazing quarter last quarter. Like the first quarter, first quarter of the year, second quarter, first quarter this, of the year, second.
This would be the second ending soon, right?
Yeah. So it was the first quarter numbers that are coming out.
Although that would be end of June, so. Yeah. I don't know what. That's probably like fiscal year type thing, right? Was that October?
Yeah, whatever the reporting period was for the numbers. Historically, the last few months is like the worst time of the year. For the numbers to be this good at this point in the year is just crazy. And part of that is probably because cryptocurrency, part of that is because, you know, 1080 Ti and the pricing and all the other stuff. Even with the memory shortage, even with all the other stuff that drove the prices up, drove the prices to insane levels. NVIDIA made so much money here that I don't think it's just on supply. I don't have anything to back this up, but my instinct here is that their profits were so high that they had to be benefiting, at least somewhat, from the crazy inflated graphics card prices, not just the retailers.
And they are saying that the prices should normalize, but I think even if the crypto miners stop buying, there's going to be such a huge backlog of, honestly, I'm probably going to, I've been thinking about building a new PC, right? And I've been thinking about it for like a year, because I'm not going to pay those prices. And The newer games aren't tempting me enough to make me want to pay that much for a new video card. But as people like me, as the prices come back down, we're going to keep the market at the current prices because we're going to be buying.
I think that the admission from NVIDIA is going to be that on their next generation cards, the flagship card and like the first and second tier cards, like the flagship card and the one down from that for gamers, I think those are going to carry just pricing that we have never seen. Like, you know, what was it, like $700-$800 was crazy, you know, quote unquote, for a flagship card. I think we're going to be at more like $800 or $900 or more for those flagship cards in the new generation from NVIDIA that comes out. Part of that is probably because lack of competition, but the other part of that is because definitely NVIDIA wants on this crazy crypto profit bandwagon, because the profits from that are just, their shareholders could probably sue them for not trying to take some of the money on the table there from that, because there's so much money there.
There's also been a couple of big, we didn't mention it in the crypto news, but there's been some big financial analysts who are predicting Bitcoin going back to like 20. One of them predicted 36,000, one of them predicted 20,000. But one guy predicted Ethereum at 15,000. If that rings true, then we're going to be right back into this mess.
Yeah. Facebook is also exploring the blockchain because they've got a blockchain team led by the Coinbase board member. So, yeah, Facebook needs to get in on that whole blockchain thing, because why not?
And very recently, they banned all cryptocurrency advertisements on Facebook. So the conspiracy-minded are like, oh, you wanted everybody else out of the pool so that you could jump in. And maybe that's going to play out here. They haven't said exactly what they're going to do, but they're definitely spending money on it.
Now, if you've been following our stuff for a long time, you know that we can be a little bit morbid sometimes. We don't shy away from morbid things.
I'm pretty sure we've talked about exit bags on the show before, right? God, I hope you think the AI, the algorithm is going to pick up exit bags.
Not now, but in the future.
So if you don't know what an exit bag is, it's pretty much what it sounds like. It's a way to kill yourself. Wow, maybe that's going to... It's a way to exit this world.
Edit that.
And if you want to do so painfully, there's one of the best ways is nitrogen gas. Because if you don't know about suffocation, you think, I'm not getting oxygen, my body's alarmed. That's not why your body gets alarmed. Your body gets alarmed because of carbon dioxide buildup. You're actually being poisoned by carbon dioxide. But inert gases like helium and nitrogen will still get rid of that carbon dioxide, but they won't keep you alive.
No, so states are turning to nitrogen gas as a form of prisoner execution, because honestly, it's because they can't get the lethal injection drugs.
Yeah, they talked about in here that fentanyl. So fentanyl, if you don't know what that is, that's like the super morphine, super heroin type. It's like OxyContin times 10 or something like that, isn't it? It's crazy. It's what killed Prince. And it's this crazy, like, it's supposed to be for super, super advanced cancer cases. And it will kill you, but you will have a great time going out. And they wanted to use that, but some, like, the DEA policies won't allow it, because you can't use it for that purpose. That's like, what? We're killing somebody. So, yeah, they're thinking about using it. You know, the other interesting thing about that article, helium, the people who make tanks of helium caught wind of the whole exit bag thing. So they put small amounts of oxygen in with the helium now.
Wow.
So you have to use nitrogen. Pro tip. Pro criminal tip.
Is that really a criminal, though? I mean, I guess it's illegal.
It is illegal to kill yourself, yeah. Which is another fun law.
My first and last criminal act. NASA is going to send a helicopter to Mars to test otherworldly flight. Now, this is surprising. I did not think that it would be possible to have a helicopter on Mars, because the atmospheric density is only like 1% that of Earth.
Yeah, they talk about that, and the rotors have to spin at some ungodly RPM. Because when you talk about the atmospheric levels on Earth, I think on Mars it starts as if you're 40,000 feet in the air.
Yeah.
Or maybe more than that, because there's not air. There's not much of it.
To say Mars has an atmosphere is an exaggeration.
So. There's no nitrogen with which to make exit bags on Mars.
The design team spent more than 4 years shrinking a working helicopter to the size of a softball and cutting its weight to 1.8 kilograms. That's 4 pounds for those of us that are domestic. So this is a pretty tiny helicopter.
Yeah, and it's not being sent on its own. It's going to launch from the other rover, the land rover that's being sent. And they're, I don't even know if they give a percentage, but they're not totally convinced it's going to work. They might launch it and it crashes right into the ground. And if so, it's like, well, we learned something from that. Yeah.
Well, switching gears to nonsense, finally, it's just everybody's favorite part of the news. The first story that we have is that, well, you know, as you guys may know, our president, President Trump, issues a lot of executive orders, signs his names to things, et cetera, et cetera. There's enough information from stuff that he's handwritten online that some really awesome person has made a font of his handwriting, and they call it Tiny Hand.
One of my, I think maybe my favorite GIFs are those ones where, you know, the one where he's like, he's just signed a document, and he's like showing it to all the cameras and people superimpose things. Those are amazing.
I don't like the whole Tiny Hands thing. I don't get it, but every time I see that, I think of all the stuff in Arrested Development with the lawyer that had like, he had like the big rubber hands because he was super paranoid about his hands being small. And it's like, how did they know? How did the writers of Arrested Development know?
I think it's like the Napoleon thing. Yeah. Supposedly Napoleon was average sized for the time, at least, because people are bigger now, but it caught on and everybody hated him so much in England that they just ran with him. He could never escape it, even though it wasn't necessarily true. So,
well, World of Warcraft currency is now worth 7 times as much as Venezuela's currency. Venezuela's going through some problems right now. They're facing some sanctions. They can't really do anything with their oil.
Yeah, they're trying that cryptocurrency. But the funny thing,
the cryptocurrency you're not allowed to own in America.
Yeah, don't buy that. But the great thing about this is the headline is talking about the official rate. The black market rate is more like 60 times more valuable. So if you're earning in Bolivar, you would be way, way better off just going on World of Warcraft and mining gold all day long, because the exchange rate is way better.
Per Google, one U.S. dollar is worth 68,000 Bolivar. Wow, that seems like... So what you're saying is I could move to Venezuela and be rich, or probably be murdered.
Yeah, you would for sure be murdered. And think about this. When you convert your dollars legally, you're doing it at that rate. But what you would have to do is find some seedy black market dealer.
Oh, yeah, because we're not supposed to do anything.
Because it's so. No, even if you could, it's 60 times more valuable on the black market.
Oh.
So no one converts at the real rate. Yeah. It's a bad time in Venezuela.
Got some bad news out of the UK. Make the masses carry their mobile phones, suggests a wig in a not at all creepy speech. So a top Brit judge thinks we'll warm to our panopticon. This guy wants you to carry your phone all the time so that they can use the video and the camera parts of it and tracking part of it to just keep track of the citizenry.
He talks about how easy it is. And we talked about Securus. Who,
that was on Monday. You should go back and watch that.
Yeah, if you haven't watched that episode, they are basically already able to do that with just the fact that your phone checks in with so many different places, they can place you with it pretty easily. Well, this guy's saying, you know what would be great is if we just force people to always carry their phone. Then we always know where they are. I mean, that sounds good, right? And you think, well, that's kind of like a modest proposal type of deal. But no, it seems like he was serious about it. So, bad. Don't vote for that guy.
Don't vote for that guy and go back and watch all the videos and update them and interact with them or thumbs down them if they're terrible. I don't know. But this is definitely a thumbs down for the UK. Why has this guy not ever read a book? I mean,
well, I think he's read 1984.
I mean, well, but like we're super into technology and we're like, no, this is probably not a good idea. You shouldn't, because when it's mandatory and not optional, that opens up a whole new world of very bad things.
But you know what would be great about this is that if they did make that mandatory and they made that a law, I bet a lot of people would leave their phones at home just to be contrary, you know. Might have a good effect.
Two spaces after a period are better than one, except study finds they aren't, maybe. Hmm.
I always do two spaces. What do you do?
I don't.
Really?
Yeah, it's always one.
I
do the Oxford comma, though. The Oxford comma is where it's at.
See, I don't do the Oxford comma, but I'm for the Oxford comma. I wish that everybody used it, but since nobody does, I don't use it.
I've been in situations where I've been like writing documentation for something and the Oxford comma mattered a whole bunch. And
well, there was that court case. I don't know how that played out, but...
Oh, like the bus drivers?
It does change the context of things. And so it's competing studies. And one said that it was a little bit more readable. And then the other ones were like, no, it doesn't matter. Now, I don't do two spaces after a comma, but I do after a period.
Yeah, I don't generally do two spaces after either one. I'll use the crap out of semicolons, though, if things are starting to get unreadable. Or like the double dash, like space, dash, dash, space. Use the crap out of that, too.
You ever read a Cormac McCarthy novel? He doesn't pay any attention to like punctuation. He'll use "and" 20 times in a sentence, and it's so weird. But he's a, like, really compelling writer, even despite all that. I love his books.
Scientists are growing mini brains using Neanderthal DNA. So in the very first part of this article, the scientists are really quick to point out, it's like, we're not growing thinking brains. There's no consciousness here. We're just growing little pieces of a brain to study the brain structure.
But can it feel pain? Can it suffer? Probably not. But this is interesting because it's like, it really is. This is the start of a, what was the guy that wrote Jurassic Park?
Crichton?
Yeah, Michael Crichton. This is like the beginning of a Michael Crichton novel. It's like, yeah, we're just going to make some Neanderthal brains. Nothing bad will come of this.
What if we stick some of these Neanderthal brains in the new tensor processing units from Google? What happens then?
So what these guys are, it's this company, they're all about like getting old DNA, and I think they're the ones that put together the old mammoth DNA, and they're just CRISPRing stuff together and growing it in a lab, and sure, nothing bad will happen.
We just want to study the Neanderthal brain because we know that there was a lot of interbreeding between Neanderthals and, you know, what became modern humans, so
that is,
what's up with that?
It is funny when you think about that because, you know, the Neanderthal, they've got this reputation of being sort of simple, and... Yeah, you know, like you could probably trick them easily and barter with food and stuff. And our predecessors were just horrible people. They were banging them left and right, taking advantage of them. Someone should do a comedy series, you know, like a really dark comedy series. It's all about this group of people who are taking advantage of the Neanderthals sexually.
Well, there goes our monetization for this week. Be sure to join the Level 1 Patreon. This story is amazing.
This is definitely going to get it if that one didn't.
I'm going to let you read... Oh, no, I'm just going to leave the headline, for the motherboard headline.
But find the actual name of what they called it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's hilarious.
Here it is. Like, how would you like to be... I'm just going to... This will be for the podcast people. It's like, this is amazing. I want you to close your eyes and have the mental picture of, like, you know, the very corporate, very professional environment. And, you know, you've got... hundreds of millions, billions of online users, and you've got the committee coming together to, you know, deal with user undesirable user behavior on the platform, and you're on the subcommittee for this, and this is what you come up with because, you know, the rest of your team needs guidance on how you're going to deal with some of this undesirable behavior, this specific class of undesirable behavior on this platform. What do? It's like, well, you come out with a manual that's called Operational Guidelines, Unsolicited Adult Nude Genitalia Imagery Sharing Overview. And then it goes on to explain about how they deal with that on the platform.
WANGIS, maybe? Could we acronym that? UANGIS? It's like, oh, what do you do? Oh, I'm on the UANGIS team. Oh, what's that?
This remind, like, there was a...
That's a good picture.
there was a story... I think it originated on FARC. Like, it was originally a FARC.com story, but the FARC users succeeded in winning an online contest to name a stadium or something, and it was the UFIA Stadium. And I'm not going to tell you, it's UFIA stands for Unsolicited Finger In, and I'm not going to fill that in for you. And so yes.
Well, so you might be thinking, when it comes to these pictures, What kind of guidelines could you need? Well, it turns out they sort of overstepped when they did the zero tolerance policy on revenge porn, right? So let's the two of us, right? Let's say that I send you an unsolicited, what was the thing again? Unsolicited adult nude genitalia imagery image, right? And you, being upset about this, post it publicly, and you're like, look at what this asshole just sent me. He sent me this unsolicited adult nude genitalia picture. That would make you a revenge porn person.
Oh, wow.
And
yeah,
you would get banned because you took pornography from me and used it as revenge.
I weaponized it.
Or even if you just reported it to the Facebook team, in some cases they considered that to be a violation of that policy. So poor, unsuspecting women who were getting sent these pictures were getting banned because they were posting it in other places or reporting it or whatever, just to shame these people. So
wow,
they had to create a different internal policy.
And so, again, I would ask you to go back to your mental picture I asked you to create earlier and think about the conversations that had to happen behind closed doors in the meeting rooms about this.
There were discussions on whiteboards that I would love to have pictures of. You know, it's like serious people sitting around a conference room. And, like, think about, that's one of those, like, you know, when you're a kid and you're not allowed to laugh, and it makes you really want to laugh.
Yeah.
There had to be a lot of situations like that.
You know that, like, this really came to a head internally at, like, Friday afternoon at, like, 2 p.m., and, like, a major conference was called in, and, like, the sun is setting on the California offices at, like, 7 or 7:30 p.m., and everybody's still piled in the conference room, and it's, and the air conditioner, like, because it's the weekend, the building air conditioner has turned off, and it's getting hot and sweaty in that room, and it's just like, guys, we've got to come up with a better solution for this. It can't be sometimes, maybe, not every time. We've got to do this with AI. We can't have people that are just doing, we'd employ 30,000 people that do nothing all day but look at unsolicited adult nude genitalia image sharing. Come on, people, I need some ideas. I can picture that meeting in my head, and
you're calling home.
For humanity.
It's like, honey, I'm not gonna make it to that to have dinner with your parents tonight. We're in an emergency meeting. Oh, something wrong? What's it about? Pictures? What kind of pictures? I can't talk about that.
So what we need is for somebody in the audience that works in Hollywood to contact us about the American Psycho remake. Because that's going to be the precise moment where our lead character has his psychotic break with reality. He's sitting in the room, and he's like, what am I doing with my life working on this problem? Like, why is this a thing that I'm working on? Is this really all my existence is? Oh, that guy's business cards are really nice.
Well, you're thinking about that, and you're looking around the conference table at the rainbow of hair colors that the weaponized feminists, and they're just harpies just, you know, shrieking into your ear that you're the problem. And you're like, oh, I work at Facebook.
Oh, an American Psycho based on a guy that works at... Oh, it's just... I can't... I mean, there's no end of amusement that you can get. Just think about all the scenarios that play out in your head. I mean, it's just... It's so surreal.
Problem is, you know, the Hollywood liberal machine would never touch that movie. You have to put it on the blockchain.
Well, this guy, some guy tried to take a selfie with a bear.
Look at this poor stock photo bear. It wasn't him, I don't think. He's going to get blamed for all this.
It's going to be accidentally put down because he got a taste of human flesh. Poor guy.
Yeah, it says bear stock photo. That is not the offending bear. Don't be fooled.
This was in India. This wasn't I half expected this to be at like the San Diego Zoo or something.
Well, is
like,
I think it's India. This is a problem across Asia, is like the risky selfies is a big thing there.
Oh, yeah. Why? Don't do that. Come on, don't be silly. The man, Prabhu Bhutara? I don't know if you got that right.
That sounds pretty close.
Was with a group of wedding guests when they stopped in a forest in India, according to. So this was a wild bear, which is probably not like, wild bears are very different than circus bears, just in case you guys don't realize that.
Pro tip. Pro Indian tip. I read another.
We've got a lot of wild bears around here.
I read a different story that I think the bear was like sleeping. Or something.
Well, that's the number one thing to do to piss a bear off.
Well, you know that phrase about let a sleeping dog lie? That really applies to bears way more than dogs.
You know, growing up, they told me that the way to tell the difference between a brown bear and a black bear was when you're running away, if you climb a tree to escape, if the brown bear climbs the tree after you, it's a brown bear. But if it's a black bear, the black bear just knocks the tree over.
That's an important time to make that distinction. That's really going to help. So yeah, this dude tried to get a selfie with the bear, and the bear killed him. But here's like, you know, that's a very modern story, right? But the best part about it is, instead of anybody like calling the authorities or trying to help him, they all filmed it with their phones. That's, if you wanted to turn 2018 into a human interaction, it would be a bear eating a man trying to take a selfie with it, and everybody else filming it instead of helping.
I don't know which is more horrifying, that story Or this story on CNBC, the curious case of how a 9-year-old self-proclaimed cocaine dealer became an Instagram influencer.
I had not previously heard of Lil Tay, had you?
I had not previously heard of Lil Tay.
No, apparently we're just behind the times because the world is in love with Lil Tay. And
there she is.
She's basically the personality of a rapper, but a 9-year-old girl.
She can't be real. Now, there's no way that she's real.
Here's the thing, an interesting thing about it. Well, she's definitely a real girl. I mean, she's. I don't think she really deals cocaine.
Or tweets those things on Instagram.
Can you imagine? Like, the people that buy cocaine are usually somewhat desperate. You know, they're from. I mean, I guess maybe there are definitely upper class cocaine dealers, but what it seems like Lil Trey's more of a street dealer, Lil Tay. And I think someone would kill her and take her cocaine.
No. I saw one future where this could play out. This is yet another example of RoboCop successfully predicting the future. Remember the kid, like, gangster leader thing in the RoboCop movie? It was like a 9-year-old boy, and he was, like, you know, super sociopathic and ruthless. This is that guy's brother or sister.
So, Tay Instagrams herself in various, like, you know, expensive cars and with money and talking about drugs. And
she can't reach the pedals.
She curses a lot, uses a lot of foul language, claims to be in a, I think it was the Crips or the Bloods. I can't remember which one.
She's probably not having a monetization problem with her YouTube channel.
She's verified on Instagram. And she's 9 years old. You're supposed to be 13. But it just goes to show you that if you get enough people looking at you, then everything's okay.
I will also say that this story turned into one of the major time vampires from this week, because I was looking at this and it was like, this is a story that's easily going to take me 5 or 10 minutes to read. And it was probably 2 hours later that I realized 2 hours had elapsed. And what happened was I hit this paragraph and there's all kinds of links in this paragraph. And if you want to kill, like, you're at work and you're just bored out of your mind, you should check these links out. Because Ryan's toy reviews, like the channel intro for that, that is some serious, that's like foreign mind control stuff. I'm sure that a foreign intelligence agency put that video together, because I could not stop watching it, because it was like the tilt your head to the side exercise song. I don't know what they were doing in there, but it was some serious, I probably got a subliminal suggestion to assassinate President Kennedy or something at this point.
But if you read between the lines here, it seems like Lil Tay's mom is just a genius, and she figured out to tell her little girls, like, hey, just, you know those guys you see on TV? Just act like them, and people will throw money at us. And they did it, and it's working, because she's got millions of followers and probably generating quite a bit of revenue.
That is certainly the case for Ryan's toy reviews, which earned 11 million on YouTube for his videos last year, according to the Washington Post.
Oh, man.
I didn't think that kind of money was in YouTube anymore.
We should create an app. It'd probably be illegal because they're children, but I would love to create an app that takes all these kids that are in the media and the news, you know, stuff like that, and then just over time reminds you of where they are in life. So it's like, you know, the Dell guy, and you know, it's like, oh, arrested for crack, you know, alert. Yeah.
So it would be like a motivational app. You could open it up and the app would give you little, it's like, you know, you're in your, you know, terrible dead-end job doing horrible things that no human being should ever be forced to do. But at least you're not one of those guys in that Facebook meeting about the unsolicited nudes. Or at least you're one of those, you know, you're not working on a team that's having to deal with the fallout from the CNBC story on Instagram or whatever.
But don't do this to your kids. This can't end well. You know what? You know what's good for Instagram? Cats. You do this to your cats because they're fine with it. They're not going to get into drugs and, you know, underage hookers in 10 years because of this. But your kids, this is going to mess them up. Don't do it.
Definitely. Definitely. And if not, you know, at least the people that have to work on this are going to be messed up. One of them, sooner or later, one of them is going to have a psychotic break. You can't not, because working on this kind of stuff is so absurd that no human being should ever be subjected to this. Why do we do this to ourselves? Really? All right, we'll see you next week.